Turn to the book of Job. Tonight, chapter 2 through chapter 5. We left off in chapter 1 last week where Job lost his children, lost his some of his properties, lost his cattle. And then he came as Satan was standing before the Lord, and he stood before God and said, God, the only reason that Job loves you is because you've blessed him with so much. But if you do touch him, then he'll curse you to your face. And we saw in chapter 1, in verse 13 of chapter 1, where he said, and now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house. And remember, the messenger came as they, you know, the tragedy happened, and the first thing that happened is the oxen were plowing, donkeys were feeding. The Sabaeans raided them and killed their servants, and the only one person that escaped went to Job. And then secondly, in verse 16, another one came and said that the fire of God from heaven fell and burned up all the sheep, all of the servants, consumed them, but I alone have escaped. And then as he was still speaking, another one came, and the Babylonians formed three bands and raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants by the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped. And while he still was speaking, another one came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking in the older brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, and it struck the four corners of the house, and it fell, and the young people, and they were all dead, and I alone have escaped. Can you imagine receiving bad news after bad news? I mean, how much can a person take? Some people can't take too much. Job is really tested to the ultimate extreme, where in one day, he has four tragedies. And now all of his children are gone. All of his flocks are gone. He's bankrupt. And there he's standing. It says in verse 20, and then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on his ground to worship. And then he said, naked I came in my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job not once sinned nor charged God with wrong. Imagine that. Never charge God wrong in one thing. Naked I came, naked I leave. The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jehovah God. You would think, wow, what else can happen? Well, chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, Satan, from where are you coming from? It's not that God is ignorant. He knows what's going on, but he wants him to answer, keeping him accountable. So Satan answered the Lord and said to him, from going to and fro through the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you ever considered my servant Job? And remember we said last week that word consider, it's a military term used of a general standing on top of a hill, looking down on the enemy and planning and strategizing how I can take my enemy on, how I can get to them. That's the word is here. Have you ever considered or strategized on my servant Job? Notice that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man. Thirdly, one who fears God. And four, one who hates evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity. And although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. You know what I see here? I counsel a lot of people. And one of the things that I always wonder about is that, you know, when people backslide, I mean, why would a person backslide after something happens to them as a Christian? Do you think that it's going to be better without God? I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of stupid if you think about that. Oh, you know what, God, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to go back to the world and do what I used to do. Go ahead. Go ahead, try it again. See what happens. You can't succeed, you can't prosper. Believe it or not, you're going down the tubes. Fast. And yet people do it all the time. And yet it says here that Job stayed blameless, upright, fearing God, and hating evil. Losing his children, losing his camels, losing all of his flocks and everything that he owned, except for he and his wife. And yet he never cursed God. There will be a time where you and I will be tested. And I told you I was already tested. And I don't know what other testing may come. But it was heavy when I was tested. To think that you're losing your mind. To think that you're in another country, you think back in war. After being sane just a few minutes ago. And to stay like that for 4 or 5 days. And having fears and phobias. Locking the doors, closing the windows. Because the enemy is trying to get inside to kill you. And yet, because we don't lose our confidence in the Lord and we call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord sustains us. Yes, God has to try us. He has to try your faith. To really see what kind of a foundation you have. He wants to know if you're really real or not. Just as gold is tested. It's real important. And many times when you're young, you think, well, you know, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. I have it pretty good. And when you're young, that's really cool. Some young people go through it early, some later on. But everybody is tested somehow. Some people lose children. Some people lose their husband or their wife. Some people, you know, by losing their jobs or losing their houses or something else will happen. But tragedies come. Or a whole country by tragedy is hit. And yet, God is always there for us, no matter what happens to us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe Job believed that with all his heart. Because watch this. This is amazing. Verse 4 says, and so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, and all that a man has, he will give for his life. Notice that. Satan tells God, notice, that the reason Job hasn't cursed him is because God puts limitations on it. You draw the line, you protect him too much. That's why he loves you. You know what's amazing is that God has promised us that he will give us strength to bear our temptations when we go through them. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. No temptation is overtaking you that is common to men, but God makes the way of escape for you in every temptation so you don't get messed up. We lose heart. We get into unbelief. We get discouraged. And so here is Satan again, speaking out against Job. Notice this. Verse 5, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. I'll tell you what, God, you took his children, he's doing good. You took all his money, he's doing fine. But I'll tell you what, no man can stand it when you get them themselves. You hit him completely and fully. Physically get him and he'll curse you to your face. Really? I mean, think about that. What does God do? And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. I'm glad that's not a period. It's a comma. Behold, he is in your hand. But, notice, spare his life. I love that. What do you mean? God's in control of my life, not Satan. Satan can touch me unless it's by permission. Get that in your brain. Get that in your brain. When you go through a sickness, when you go through an accident, whatever it is, either God's chasing you or he's allowing it to make you stronger and a better person in your life. Because he wants to use your life. That's why he does it. It's not that he hates or is picking on you. And Satan, when he heard that, this is so amazing. Because we are protected by God. Man was created with a free will to choose. Verse 7. And so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Can you imagine boils? I had a boil one time and it hurt. I had to lance it and it hurt. It hurts. But imagine boils on top of your head through your whole body all the way down to your heels, where you can't stand, and if you sit down, it still hurts. If you lie down, it hurts, and there's no way you can bear it at all. Boils. Shocking. Check this out. Verse 8. And he took for himself a potsherd, a piece of pottery, with which he scraped himself from his head in the midst of the ashes. He was itching so much he was scratching all over the place. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you still believe in God? Do you still love God? I mean, what kind of a wife is that? He says, why don't you curse God and die, Job? Imagine that. You don't need a wife like that at that moment. But I mean, here is poor Job, and here his wife. She's really saying, Job, why is this happening to you? What did you do? I mean, I would say, you live with me, you know me better than anybody else. I don't know why. And what's the first thing that the enemy does? He puts doubt in our minds. Doubt in our minds. But Job answers. Notice this. Verse 10. And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He never damned God. Man, that's amazing. I mean, just because we're Christians, should we not suffer? Should we always just get blessed? Always be happy? No. You know? That's what people think, you know. Oh, you're a Christian. No, Christians do go through stuff like everybody else. Like everybody else. We go to the bathroom like everybody else. We get headaches, we get stomach aches, chicken pox, everything. And yet here, Job understands. Notice that here Job was righteous. In all these things, he submitted to God. And what did he do? He silenced Satan. Silenced Satan. Oh man, I love that. What could Satan say? Shoot, you know? I can't believe Job. What is it going to take? Now, watch this. It's so good to have friends. Especially when you're sick. Because the leaders stick by you, whoosh, or they're gone. Here it is, verse 11. And now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and to mourn with him and to comfort him. I mean, that's just normal. You know, people hear that you're sick, they come to the hospital, they visit you, they come to your home, they visit you. You go, oh, how nice, you know, they love me. And some people do that. They do love you. But some other people are nosy. They just want to see what's wrong with you. Or they'll come in and say, oh man, the reason you're sick is because there's sin in your life. That's all you need to hear when you're sick, right? I mean, there are people like that. Well, here they come. The three friends. Verse 12. Now watch their reaction here of Job's friends. And when they came, they raised their eyes from afar off, and they did not recognize Job. They lifted up their voices and they started weeping. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. Notice that. Because of the condition Job was in. Verse 13. And so they sat down with Job on the ground. And for 7 days and seven nights, no one spoke a word to him. For they saw that his grief was very great. Can you imagine being in the presence of someone you can't say nothing? What can you really say to them when they're hurting so much? They started out very well, sitting with him, having compassion on him. But later on, what's going to happen is they start giving their own philosophy, ungodly philosophy, why Job is sick. And really, you don't need people's opinions. You want to make sure you got God's opinion. Because it can really throw you into a hole. Some people that listen to Job's friends, when they're sick like that, they can put you in a deep depression if you believe what they're saying to you. Surely you want people that come to you and they're going to give you a biblical scripture to build you up, not to tear you down, or not to put doubt in your mind and your heart. Job, maybe you're sick because, you know, you've been lying. Or maybe you haven't been loving your wife. Imagine that. You don't need to hear that. That's when you take your machete out and you chase him out of the house. Look what it says. Verse 13. As they're sitting down weeping. And so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days. And they were all in grief. And then Chapter 3 begins here. Now, this section covers now the actual cycles and speeches between Job and his friends, the meaning of his friends, including Elihu, all the way to chapters 3 through 37, 24. That's all his friends' speeches. Chapter 3, verse 1. Check this out. And after this, they weren't saying one word for 7 days. Job opened his mouth. And what did he say? He cursed the day of his birth. He didn't curse God. He said, I wish I would have never been born. I wish I would have never been born. A broken man. A broken, broken man. Imagine that. He does not curse God, but he curses the day of his birth. Job was in deep pain and despair to the point that he said, Lord, why was I born for this day? Verse 2, Job spoke, and he said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which was said, a boy was conceived. You know how when you're having a baby, and they say, it's a girl, it's a boy. He says, I wish they would have never said, it's a boy. The day of my birth, notice that. He was saying, I wish I could have done away with the calendar when he was born. So I wish they would have never kept the date when I was born. But in reality, it cannot be done. Why? Because he was there appointed according to the will of God. We have to trust God. We have to recognize that God is in control of my life. Yes, when we're weak, when we're sick, we can say a lot of things that we don't really mean because we're emotionally saying them. But we should never, ever curse the Lord. Because God is there for us at any time. Satan will come in with doubt. And you'll have people that will come in with all kinds of negative things against you. But you don't have to really believe them. What we need in our lives, and Job needed, is the peace of God. And if you have the peace of God, how can you get bummed? When you really have the peace of God and you know God is in this and God is going to take me through this. But here is Job again. This is the beginning. Verse 3. May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said a male child was conceived. And then he says, may that day be darkness. The darkness here is actually used 5 times in this chapter. And it's used darkness, deep shadow, blackness, and thick darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. Notice that. It refers to that darkness he was feeling. May darkness, verse 5, and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Notice Job having a hard time. He says, being honest with God. Then he says in verse 7, notice he continues to personify the night. Oh, may the night be barren or stony. May no joyful shout come into it. Notice that. That is, he's talking about his mother would have never bore him. That's how he's feeling. Why was I born? Why did my mother bear me? May those curse it who curse the day. Those who are ready to curse Labithian, a sea monster that he's talking about here. Mythologically, they were always talking about Labithian, this monster with 7 heads. But here it's literally speaking of a sea monster. We don't know what kind of a monster it was, but at the time, like with Noah and all these things were going, because the book of Job goes back to the book of Genesis, way back there. We find the name of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible. And then check this out, verse 9. May the stars, speaking of Venus and Mercury, he said, of its morning be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day, his suffering wish. Verse 10, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Speaking again of his birth, notice that. Since he was conceived and born, why couldn't he have died at birth? Why do I have to go through this misery? You ever feel like that? You're with Job. He felt the same way. He's human. He's having a hard time understanding. And it is hard to understand why good people suffer when there's all kinds of evil people that I say, Lord, get them good. You know? And yet, when I look at someone that is righteous, Lord, why them? Why not this person over here? They deserve it, Lord. But God knows. God's in control. He's building character. He's building your life because he wants to use you tremendously, as we'll see later. Verse 11. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? And check this out. Why did the knees receive me? Or why did the breast that I should nurse. Notice, I mean, I need to live for God. Why? Because of his purposes. Because there is a day of judgment coming. And we need to remind ourselves of this. If God allowed me to come into this world, and he allowed my mother and father to have me, then God has a purpose for my life, and it's a purpose for everybody. The problem is people don't align themselves with the purposes of God. They want to do their own thing. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. Anytime you move away from God, you're going to be in big trouble. But as long as you're seeking him and pursuing after him and staying humble before him, he will lead you, guide you. When you get sick, he will heal you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. Yes, and there'll be times when you'll be so bummed out that you'll even doubt God, but God is there. God is there. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a promise of Jesus. And we need to tell people that. We need to give them the word of God, not our words, God's word, so they can be comforted. So here, we need to understand also that we need to make an eternal what? Investment of our time. Why? Because time is short, like Joseph says here. Hey, you know. Verse 13. For now, I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. Notice that. He says, if death at birth would have been so much better, but yet God didn't allow it, I would have been gone. And yet this is where people, they take the doctrine here in verse 13, believe it or not, of soul sleep. That when a person dies, you know, you take the body, you bury it, but their soul stays asleep in the grave until Jesus comes again, and then you'll be awakened. That's no such thing. It's only found in the book of Job and the Psalms. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross. The moment you die, you're in the presence of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you're in the presence of Satan in hell, in the middle of the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Nobody goes to sleep. When you die, you die. The body is an empty shell. The spirit departs to be with the Lord or to go to hell. So here again, verse 14. With kings, counselors of the earth who build ruins for themselves, or with the leaders who had gold, who fill their houses with silver, literally saying, I wish I would have never come into this world. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who saw no light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary at her rest. Job is crying out of distress for losing his family. And yet, notice, we cannot make doctrine out of this. Job is speaking out of the frustration of grief. Of grief. Sometimes when people say things, you know, don't take it personal. They're in grief. They don't mean what they're saying. They just say it in pain. Notice that. And yet, he says again in verse 18, there the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, speaking of debts all the way through. And the servant is free from his master. Notice that. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of the soul? Who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures. Literally, he's saying, I welcome death more than gold. You can take me now, Lord. I want to die. Who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave. Notice that. I wish I could die. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and who, notice, in whom God has hedged it? And it says, for my sighting comes before I eat, and my groaning pours out like water. Notice that I can't even eat, Lord. I can't even eat. I'm in such pain. For the thing I greatly fear has happened to me. You hear people ever say that? The thing that I read that I really hated and feared has now come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. Interesting. Here again, I mean, he's thinking all these things, you know. And this is what the positive confessioners use in their speaking negative. Saying, oh, don't say that because it'll happen to you. Job, be careful what you're saying, you know. Because you're speaking positively, you know, be careful. No, he's speaking out of hurt. He's hurt. I am not at ease. Notice that. Nor I am quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Notice, he now wonders why he cannot die. It seems that his last is faith, but he really hasn't. You know, I ever feel like that? Oh man, I've had people come to me and say, I don't really know if I'm saved or not. You know, they think that they lost their salvation or something, you know. You can't lose your salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God given to you. You can make choices in sinning against. God says that sin separates you from God, not your faith. Sin. You see, and we have a will to choose, to say yes, to say no. And it's so neat because if a person is living righteously before God in obedience, you have nothing to worry about. But if you're really living a life of sin, you have a lot to worry about. Because Paul and Jesus said that those that continue in that sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see? I don't care how many times you accepted Christ. Because the actual doctrine is a doctrine of abiding in Jesus. John 15. We abide every day. I never worry about losing my salvation or anything like that. I know that I'm secure in Jesus Christ as long as I walk for Jesus Christ. As long as I walk by faith and obey God's word, I'm safe. When people begin to doubt and begin to try to convince other people, it's because they're living a life of sin. And they're trying to cover for themselves. And they're trying to take others with themselves. So here Job again. Notice that. Verse 26. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, and trouble comes. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, he continues the thought. Then Eliphaz, here comes his good old friend, the Temanite, answered and said, now so they've been waiting for the big time. Now he steps up to the plate. Notice the voice of experience is going to speak. How do I know that? Look at verse 8 for 1 second. Check this out. Verse 8, the voice of experience. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Miserable comforter. Notice that. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Notice, he starts in a diplomatic way with Job. Job, I'm your friend. I love you. I care for you. And literally he's saying, what I have to say to you, I am going to say it. Don't get offended. You ever hear people say that? I say, throw it on. Bring it on. Job, verse 3. Surely, Job, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. I know where he's going already. Here you are, the big preacher, the one that has preached and said, hold on to the Lord, but now it's come upon you, and where is your God? Notice that. Verse 4. Your words have upheld him who is stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. And I would say to that friend of mine, get thee behind me, Satan. Notice that. What a miserable comforter he is. His friend. He says to Job, he says, in the old days when you had everything, you could help everyone. But now it's happened to you. And what do you say, Job? Verse 6. Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways, your hope? Notice that. Eliphaz begins to acknowledge Job's piety, his blameless ways. He reminds Job that he has been, notice, helping others in suffering in the past, but now you're suffering. Verse 7, remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? Notice, Job, you are not innocent. There's something in your life hiding. There's sin in your life, Job. You ever hear people like that? The reason you have leukemia, there's sin in your life. Oh, man, don't talk to those people. Don't waste your time with them. If you have sin, God will show you. The Holy Spirit is there to convict you of sin and to speak to you about your sin. Watch this. Verse 8. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Notice, Job, what's happening to you is you're reaping. You're reaping to your sin. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. And now, notice, he's going to report the vision. And not a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received whispers of it. You ever hear people say, I had a dream about you last night. He's coming back saying, I had a dream. a vision. Watch this. He gets real mystical now. Talking to Job. In disquieting thoughts from the vision of the night, when the deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me, and trembling which made all my bones shake. Notice that. Then a spirit passed before my face, and my hair stood up straight, you know, like Casper looking at him, you know. You get the picture here. Super spiritual. And it stood still. But I could not discern its appearance. I don't know what it looked like. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. And then I heard a voice saying, can a mortal man be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? Notice that. I mean, this guy is really just, Job's friend is not being helpful. Job is being very patient. But I guarantee he wants to suck him. Jump out of bed and suck that guy, man. Notice that. If he puts no trust in his servants and he charges his angels with error, how much more those men who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. Notice that. We are just a vessel of God. He fills it, so the glory, will not be of the vessel, but of the content. What? God is the one that gets the vessel, makes the vessel, fills the vessel. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever. With no one regarding. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom? Call out now, if there's anyone who will answer you. And to which of the holy ones will you turn? I mean, here is a recommendation to Job from his friend. You know, why don't you go ahead and call out Job and let's see who's going to speak to you. For wrath kills a foolish man and envy slays a simple one. Notice. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I curse his dwelling place. His sons are far from safety. They are cursed in the gate and there is no deliverer. Notice that. He's accusing Job of foolishness. Because the hungry eat up his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and the snare snatches their substance. Notice that. Speaking of the Sabaeans, when they came and took everything from them. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet a man is born to trouble as a spark flies upward. Notice the philosophy of life, he says. This is not true. All people have trouble, no matter, notice, what color. And then he says what? Tears are universal with the righteous and the unrighteous and the wicked. Verse 8. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. I mean, that's what Job's doing. You don't need people to tell you that when you're doing that. Why does great things and unsearchable things, marvelous things without number? He gives rain, verse 10. On the earth and sends water on the fields. What he's saying here is that God is so good. He's doing all these things. He sets on high those who are lowly. Those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the deceit and the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot carry on their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning ones come quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noontime in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty, and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. And notice, and behold, happy is the man whose God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty God. Where does he get this from? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 12. Whoever the Lord loves, he chastens, right? Job's friend is speaking without knowing the problem, and yet he's condemning Job. Imagine that. He doesn't even know the problem, but he's acting like the physician. Really, what you need, Job, is sin or something is in your life, and you need to get rid of it. Verse 18. Beautiful picture of God. For he bruises, but he binds us up. He wounds, but his hand makes us whole. Isn't that beautiful about God? When God touches you, he'll heal you. Whatever you go through, God is in control. Verse 19. He shall deliver you in the six troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. 6 is the number of men, 7 the number of perfection. Verse 20, in famine, he shall redeem you from death, in war, from the power of the sword. 3, you shall, verse 21, you shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. You shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the breast of the earth. Notice that, how God will deliver you from these things. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave death at the full age, and a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, notice this. This is the way it is, Job. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourself. Job, you better listen to me because I know better. And I would say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Go home and never come back again. I mean, can you imagine having people like that when you're sick and suffering? And they're not really good comforters, but miserable comforters. They're trying to convict you and condemn you. Next week, we'll see some more. Father, we come before you tonight, Jesus, to thank you so much for your grace and love and mercies. For this great book of Job, Father, that we all need. Father, help us to learn the lessons that are written here for each one of us individually, Lord God. Every one of us, God, need it. And Father, we do pray for our friends. Father, that we would have righteous friends. Friends that really love us, really care about us, Father. And that when we're ill or sick or going through a valley, Lord, that they would be sensitive with us, Lord. And that they would love us and pray for us, Jesus. Lord, we pray tonight if there's anybody sick here, or they've gone through a deep, deep valley, Lord. I pray for them, Jesus. Father, those that may have cancer, or maybe just a headache, Father, or many headaches, or some woman pregnant, Father, tonight, getting ready to lose her baby, Father, we pray for a husband, Father, that maybe lost his wife, or the wife lost her husband, or a child, or a job. Whatever it is, Lord God, tonight we are pleading with you, Jesus. Help us. Teach us, Lord. Guide us, Father. Lord, we love these people so much, Lord God. We pray for them, Jesus. Lord, protect them from the evil one, Lord. Cover us by your blood and fill us now with your love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.